The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now for The Weekend Podcast, it's Peter in the red corner.
Yes, hello.
And Steve in the pink corner.
Pink.
You know, Steve, do you know, for the first time ever, for as long as I can remember, we actually contacted Steve straight away, and he came online without...
Hello, it's me, call me back. Can you hear me? Call me back if you hear me.
So it's nice to get a, you know, clarity there on Steve straight away. It's lovely. How's your week been, Steve?
Yeah, it's been good, thank you. So,
Any more detail?
I don't think I've done much this week.
Have you been running, Forrest? Because you're into that at the moment, aren't you?
No, I my knee went on Monday, so I've not run all week, which I'm doing the Cardiff Half Marathon next week, and I still can't really do it yet, so I'm trying to train within a week.
Yeah, where's it gone? Where's your knee gone, by the way?
Well, you know what it's like, it just goes.
What do you mean, what's wrong with it?
Well, because I had 2 weeks off from training, and I just went for a run, and it just went, and I just couldn't run for a few days.
Oh, right. Yeah, I had that when I did the New York Marathon. Obviously, it's not as prestigious an event as the Cardiff Half Marathon.
No.
But yeah, I literally couldn't run for like 3 weeks beforehand, and because of my knee, and I got around there, though. You know, I was in the top 10.
Of course.
10 hours.
With all the Kenyans and all that, you know. I was the only white guy there. Only white guy there. But even with a bad knee, I was doing very well. But yes, but it's... Yeah. You go through these periods where we do this. You've done the London Marathon, Pete, haven't you?
I have, yes.
Yeah, and now, Steve, is it your first foray into the world of running at a competitive level?
Yep.
Well, there we are. It's exciting, isn't it? You sound very excited.
Yeah.
I tell you what made me laugh this week was Kim, Fat Boy Kim. You know Fat Boy Kim?
Oh, yeah.
He called Donald Trump deranged. mentally deranged. And the pot calling the kettle black. But the thing is, he's right. But to have one, you know, person who's mentally deranged recognising you as mentally deranged, it's like, you know, that's like two people in a nut house, one saying the other, you're mentally, you are. And so, yeah, so are you, mate. I'll show you, right? And they both hit each other with toy bananas or something, you know, inflatable bananas.
Yes.
Because they both are mad. And they've got the ego and the mentality of children calling each other names, but they've got serious weapons at their disposal, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it wasn't so scary, it'd be funny.
I wonder
but
what...
it's funny.
Yeah, I wonder what it'll come down to. You know, I mean, there's Kim there, Fat Boy Kim, just testing rockets and clapping and laugh. They just clap and laugh. That is an entertainment. Where's the next rocket going off? Next week, oh, brilliant. Can't wait for that. Brilliant. Excellent. So they just stand there. And you see him with these little desks. I've seen one picture of him sitting at a desk. Pretty much, it looks like it's halfway down a runway of an aircraft, of a plane, or what they call them, an airport or something like that, or whatever it is, a runway. And the launch pad is like 100 yards ahead of him, and he just sits there with all the guys around him with notepads, and it goes off, and they all clap and smile, and they all take notes. It's completely insane. And he's calling Donald Trump mentally deranged.
Incredible.
It is.
I thought then Trump's thing where he literally stood up and promised to destroy a country. Yeah. That is just, I mean, that's beyond belief, isn't it? Really,
it's like you know, the war of words you get in WWF wrestling or something like that. You know that,
or
boxers where they, you know, it was a trash talking each other. You know, it's like that, isn't it? Just get in a ring, dude, you fat boys. I'd love to see that. Really roughing each other.
I can't get over the fact they both look ridiculous, don't they? And it is that's what makes it so surreal and so weird. It's like,
well, do you know what?
It's some weird film going on. It's really odd.
Yeah, if you wrote the script and put it to Hollywood, they'd say no. It's over the top. This, but if you look at it, I think you've tacked into something there, Pete. I think they've really got really odd hairstyles. And I think when you have such an odd hairstyle as that, and you believe no, and to you it's normal, but to everyone else it's not. To me, that's a stamp of someone who's a bit mentally deranged, you know? They haven't got any perception. Like I said before, people who are mad because they don't know they're mad. You know, that's why they're mad. Right. That's exactly why they're mad. They have no normal perception. And so it's flawed in some way. And so I think when you literally have a laughable haircut, but you don't know what the joke is and everyone else is laughing at it, that proves to a certain extent. I mean, if you're a psychologist, that's it. That's all you need to base research on. Do they have an odd hairstyle that everyone else thinks is odd, but they think is normal? And that they're disjointed from reality. Anyway.
You used to have a weird hairstyle, though, just.
but that was in the 80s. That was in fashion, wasn't it? When was this?
Hang on a minute. No. You had curly permed hair at 1.9.
I've never had permed hair.
Yes, you have.
That is a natural curl, obviously, of which you're very jealous of, Stephen.
Very jealous.
I went travelling for months, and I'll come back with curly hair. But I mean, yeah, I've had silly curly hair, but that's my natural curl. I can't help that. I'm born with curly hair. You know, Fat Boy Kim wasn't born with that ridiculous shaved side hairs and curtains and Trump with the comb over. He wasn't born with that. He must have been born with the comb over. He came out of the womb with a comb over. Wow. What an unusual looking baby. He's got a comb over. Anyway, let's get on to stocks because that's essentially, for all intents and purposes, what this this podcast is loosely hung over, is the world of stocks and shares. Any observations this week, guys?
I know StratAero had a little announcement on Friday that wasn't that great for the share price.
Are you still in StratAero?
I am still in StratAero.
I thought you said you sold out of those.
No, I'm still in it because I thought I'd just go along for the ride, really. And it's a good ride now. It's come back down a lot. But there we are. But I'm not.
Why, have you sold out, Just?
Yeah, I thought I told you this. I mean, are you in them, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh God, what is wrong with you guys? I've told you about this, haven't I?
No.
It's a tiny amount of company. They seem to be going okay. They seem to need some funds now. They need more contracts. They need bigger contracts. Also, they're cutting out a little niche. They seem to be quite busy in what they're doing. They've got a couple of half decent, but some of the contracts they're announced are quite small. They need bigger ones. And they've got a management in there. It seems to be want to turn it around because from the previous management, legacy issues. But for me, that was a bit of a trade, you know?
Yeah. No, I kind of was meant to be wrong.
Guys, I'm not going to suggest any stocks to you that are trades. I'm only going to suggest stocks to you that they're investments. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it was just a punt, and then when you got such, I put a little bit of money just for a bit of punt, and then it went up a bit, came back a bit, and I just thought I'd just stay in there, and then it's gone down a bit more. But there we are. You know, it'll be fine in long term. There you go. That's my belief.
Yeah, but when you get a decent rise like that on a tiny market cap, so it'll rise. What did you got to? You had a decent little bit of an earner in that, didn't you?
And then
Anyway,
Next is still rising, I see.
Yeah, BT's not doing very well. That's part of our experiment. No. It's annoying me. It's annoying me, BT. It really is. I mean, even, do you know what, Nicola Duke Dutch is a chart, bought some on Thursday. She never buys stocks. She trades, she trades. Spread bets and all that sort of stuff. I don't know what, and currencies and commodities. But she actually bought some stock, and because she was so convinced by the chart on Thursday, I think it was on Wednesday, we discussed it. I love this chart now. Hourly chart's looking good. But there's a major support level at 280, and I think it'll come good, you know. And so I think it needs news to move it. There's a trouble, it needs a bit of news. Let's be tea for you. Yeah.
The T-pop is steadily going pop as well, isn't it? I saw that one going down.
Are you still in T-pop?
Yeah, still in T-pop, yeah.
Are you, Steve?
Yeah.
Well, are you still? Go. I took a loss on that and left. I wasn't happy with it. Did I tell you this?
No, obviously not.
Me and Pete only invest in stocks that are going down anyway.
Yeah, I never sell any stocks. I only buy. I don't sell.
I know you. All right. Yeah. Anyway,
not a selling club.
What's going on? They're down like 20-odd% on the Friday. On Friday, that's nuts. That's here we are, guys. On the good news, you know, as these stocks get smaller. the market cap gets smaller and smaller, like sub 2 million or something like that. Yeah. And then you know, they're either going to go bust, go crazy. But listen, these kind of stocks do have crazy up surges in one day.
Yeah.
And so take advantage of that. So, again, a couple of tips, right? Buy on a down day, sell on an up day. You know, that'll help
you. That down.
yeah. And these are trader stocks. I'd say there are very few stocks below a market cap of 5 million that you can hold long term. I think, you know, there are not many. There are a few, the odd rough diamond that'll get out there and it'll carry on and get bigger and bigger and bigger.
My problem is I just take my eye off it, you know, for a few days or a week.
Yeah, that's a thing. So I'm not going to suggest anything as a punt to you at all, even the way I mention it to you. But
because you're kind of constantly looking at it all day, every day. And I've said this before, but, you know, normal people just aren't looking like that, are we? So.
I mean, you know, in the small cap space, companies you could say there's not a punt, I believe, are things like Asian Met Resources, Talao Energy. There's news out from those this week, actually, both of those, wasn't it? They are. If you look around Asian Met Resources, it seems to me they're just drowning in mineralization there. Everywhere they look, they're sitting on, you know, good grades of mineralization worth that's, you know, could be economically viable. And so I had Steve on from the podcast. He's saying, what they're doing at the moment is they're obviously doing a mining plan, and when they're building a mining plan and all the bits and pieces you need with it, you've got to make sure you don't build stuff on mineralization. And it's almost like that's proving hard. It's like they don't want to build on stuff that could be drilled or, you know, sampled and could be part of the economic model going forward. So they're doing that. And where they are there in BKM, all around them is mineralization. So they're going to try and build a mine, you know, the mining plant and all that stuff on ground that doesn't need to be drilled going forward. And that's why they're now sampling all around that area. But it's all sort of course, you know, mineralization is about geology, and the geology is very similar all around the same area. So there's zinc there, there's copper there, there's gold there. So it's all looking good, you know. And he thinks he's quite confident of Bouton, that mining license being converted in Bouton. He says it's all been put in. He's asked them a couple of times if they need anything, any more information there at the... And they said, no, it's all good. So it's just going through the process. And again, with government departments, you never know how long it takes. So Asian Met, yeah, you know, it's a quality stock, I think, as a small cap. And Talao Energy, another quality stock. Also, I think Harvest Minerals, another one. And also Horizonte Minerals. These are, you know, investable small cap stocks, I think. Going up the scale, I'd say, what am I looking at here? Let's have a look. Savannah Petroleum is good. Vasarin had some news out this week, which I think is very good. It's about basically
wasn't reflected in the share price, though, was it?
No. Well, do you know what's happening here? What is happening here? And I wrote it, and obviously you'll know because both of you get my email newsletter, don't you?
Yeah.
And last weekend's email newsletter was about Vasarin. And Steve, just tell us about it. What, you know, what's happening here?
Well, I could tell you about it if I read it. So.
He's honest, Tony. I like that.
Well, at least you're honest. So listen, I said two further reasons for Vasarin, right? To your, and this wasn't. I literally set this out on the Monday morning. Early Tuesday morning, and it, you know, came out, or the RNS came out on that day. So obviously, I didn't know anything about that. But I mean, I normally say it on Sunday evening, so Monday morning. But they've made it, what is it, a tender. They're very pleased to announce that they won a single supply competitive tender for the ongoing supply of nanomaterials, including the company's graphene, to the Centre for Process Innovation, which is a government body. And this is a body that sort of connects big companies with smaller enterprises. So it's all very good. And it's looking very good. And the thing is, this is the issue. What's happened now at Vasarin, it is an opportunity, I believe. The company is evolving, getting better and signing up deals. I mean, Neil there is literally, you know, contracting with several companies and lots of meetings with big companies, you know, multinationals. And their graphene product, there's a new standard now, standardized graphene quality coming out, and they fit in with that bracket, so they're happy with that. Because lots of people out there producing graphene of some substandard nature. But... a while back, Henderson Global Investors, one of the big investors there, had about 23% of the company, you know, the held shares in Vasarin, 23%. Mm-hmm. They were overtaken by Lombard Odier, another fund manager, who have their own sort of issues and agenda, with internal agenda and issues. And since they've taken over, they've been selling down Vasarin stock. no reflection on the company, Vasari, at all. It's just the internal issues at Lombardia. And so they're selling down almost like 1% every couple of days, or every day almost. Once they'll sell. Once there's liquidity in the stock, once there's a bit of buying, they'll sell. And they're reducing their position, and they've gone from 23% just to under 10% at the moment. And so there's a huge amount of downward pressure, you know, on that on that stock all the time. Oversold, get a bit of liquidity in the stock. Bit of buying goes on, selling happens. Yeah. And so it can't make any headway at the moment. But
there's a bit of director dealing going on as well, though, obviously. So always a nice sign of confidence, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Director took about $20,000 worth of on Friday. Yeah. But, you know, but they've sold now about close to £2 million worth in the last year, Lombardia. Most of it in the last 6 months. So, you know, considering it's a 19 million market cap company, a 20 million market, you know, that much of stock being sold down, it's like the equivalent of convertible loan notes. When those go through, when companies loan, you know, borrow money in exchange for shares that can be, or a loan that can be converted into shares and are sold at a discount to the market price. It's that kind of downward pressure. And once those normally clear, once that's finished, the share price rallies like crazy. So I'm comparing this to a convertible loan note almost. Once Lombard Odia are out and the seller is out, I don't know how much they intend to sell. Maybe they may just sold over 3%, or I don't know, or sell a lot. But going by the rate at which they're selling, I'd say next 3 to 4 weeks, they should be out. And we should see a decent rally, especially if there's decent news off the back of it. But there's downward pressure there. Downward pressure on the share price, which is annoying. Really annoying. What else? Do you know what I think at the moment? Hurricane Energy, which is it's not a small cap. It's like 550 million. I wrote a blog piece on them.
Yeah.
I think... there's always risk in equities, and this is a bold statement. I think they are one of the safest bets to double your money in the next year or so. They've got about $400 million of cash, right? So that means their assets, which is like some of the biggest undiscovered assets offshore in the UK, are worth about $150 million, which is ridiculous. It's so undervalued.
They've got £400 million cash.
Yeah. Because they raised some money to drill their Lancaster discovery. So their portfolio, the largest currently undeveloped discoveries in the UK, and it's 100% owned by them. So they've got 728 million barrels of certified resources, included 37 to 62 million barrels of 2P reserves. So if you look at that Lancaster, right, it's got 37 barrels over an early production system, which will over 6 years. They're going to start doing that, drilling that in the quarter one of 2019. That's 17,000 barrels a day of oil, right? That's reserves, not resources, reserves, so proven reserves. Now, that will go to 62 million barrels over a 10-year period, but that's going to earn them, at $40 oil, that's going to earn them $100 million of net profit every year, right?
Yeah.
At $50 oil, which we're pretty much around now, it's $150 million. So it's not in 1 year from that one field, they've got a massive amount of resources, you know, billions of barrels.
So what was the cause of their massive crash in their share price since what, about
Well, they raised all this money at 32 pence, plus they did some warrants recently, which was criticised. It's a place that gives them warrants to stifle, right. But that was criticised. But literally, you've got a big chunk of overhang here. You may have some people, obviously, who've raised money here, not aligned, and maybe selling a little bit. But we're under that placing price at the moment, 28 pence. We're under that, and I just think, you know, they've got the money to do what they want to do. They can do a farming if they want to get someone else involved. But they've got the money, they've got the resources, they've got the reserves as well. I just think from here. If you look at the chart, we're at a low, and it's forming a bottom. It's bumping along the bottom of 28 pence. But they've cashed up. They've got reserves resources.
Yeah.
They're not a tiddly little company. This could be, a massive portfolio. This is talking about some of the majors would be interested in this. You know, some of the major BP and all that and Shell and all that. So check it out. HUR. This, in my mind, Steve, it's not a punt. This is probably a decent investment. You know, this is not exploration. You know, they are exploring as well, but they've got, you know, it's not appraisal. They've done all that. They've got all that. They've done that as well, but they've got proven reserves here that they're going to start pumping out in sort of January, February of 2019, and at 17,000 barrels of oil a day. You know, I just think there's no safe way of doubling your money in the stock market. But at the moment, I see this as one of the safest. For risk-reward plays, You know, it's quite a good deal, I think it is. And you probably sense I'm in them. You know, I bought shares in the company.
Oh, are you? Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I see Hurricane Energy as a, you know, when you've got a resource and like a reserve that size, you know, and 100% owned, and you've got cash as well to do it yourself. Unlike, you know, Providence Resources, this is not exploration. You know, people, if people understand what this means, and you're exploring very high risk. It's almost like 1 in 5, 1 in 10 chance of success. Yeah. But if you do get that success, obviously it's like winning on a non-favourite horse. You know, 5, 10 to 1 your money.
Are they UK-based entirely, or they've got other
interests? UK-based. I think it's down in Sussex, but up in Shetlands, this is where all the North Sea, up Shetlands area, and they do fractured basements. So it's not, it's under the sea into basements that are fractured. That's where they've got, I mean, the one last discovery, the exploration, discovered like a 1.5 kilometre column of oil. Like phenomenal amount of, you know. So I genuinely think if I was going to take a punt on anything now, if I want to put my entire, if someone said to me, put your, if you want your double your money, but risk reward, you know, put your entire portfolio into one stock, I wouldn't do it, but I'd say, I, you know, if I want double money of you, I'd say Hurricane is probably the safest bet you can get, I think. Taking into account that nothing is completely safe, you know, in equities and in oil. But, you know, I like Hurricane Energy, I really do. And look at it at the moment, ridiculously undervalued, I think, for what they've got. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking
I'll put it on my watch list.
I'm looking to do that. I'm looking to go buy a bit more Horizonte. I think it had a little move, didn't it, this week, Horizonte. Are you both in Horizonte, Steve?
Yeah.
HZM, Steve?
Yeah.
Pete?
Yeah.
Steve?
Oh, hang on. What did you say then? Oh, HZM. Oh, yeah. You're still talking about the same stock. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, HZM. Yeah, yeah. I do like HZM. It's getting towards, you know, definitive feasibility study and big results. And they announced, you know, a nice update the other week. Where they got, yeah, do you know what? If you look at what's been spent on that, the majors before it was sold, Glencore, and it's been spent $80 million been spent on that. So we know there's good resource and reserve there, you know, and a good grade of stuff there. And I just think it's moving towards, and that again, you know, that's, I think, genuinely an investment there. You've got some majors shareholders on the register and a decent thing. But yeah, I mean, there are AIM stocks out there with a decent quality, but you know, there's ones you go for a punt as well. In fact, I've just been for a punt, but I think it could go somewhere. Shall I mention it?
Go on, then.
I was looking at... I bought some... on the podcast on Friday, have a listen. I quite like Carl Smithson of Stellar Diamonds, right? But it's at 1.73. This is not for you. You shouldn't even listen to this, you two, because you shouldn't be into punting and short-termism. But... They've got a decent resource there. You know, diamond drilling, Stellar Diamonds, STEL. They're going for funding, and that's the stumbling block. If they get the funding, it'll fly. You know, they need about $45 million of funding. Now, for a market cap of 1.73, that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to land.
Yeah.
But, you know, the NPV is good, and I think the mine life is about 21 years. And so it's economically viable to do it. But, you know, it's just one of those things that could go pop or could go crazy, absolutely nuts. But like I said, this is not, you know... This is for someone who's, you know, it's high risk, you know, generally.
Right.
But it could go crazy. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Interesting.
What's your plans for the weekend, guys?
Just going to watch the shares and stuff.
Yeah, the stock market's shut in the weekend.
Oh. Going to read up on some of my investments and see why I bought them. No.
Yeah, regret investing in joining the Asia Met.
No, not at all.
No, Asia Met, you're up in Horizonte, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're up in Horizonte? What else you got there?
I'm up in quite a lot.
You're up in quite a lot. Are you up in Talao Energy?
Yeah, a bit.
Not much.
That's going to go crazy, don't worry. That'll go crazy. I mean, I just think all the rubbish you've got, just sell it all and put it all in a decent thing, like, you know, after
decent diamonds. Thing.
Yeah. But listen, if they get this funding and they're in advanced discussions of funding, right?
Yeah,
it's gonna fly. Honestly, Stellar Diamonds, STEL, it will fly. I mean, just check it. Just on the placing as well. So they've got a bit of cash there for operating, you know. So they're not, looking at cash. The directors hold quite a big chunk. It's quite a well-held stock. So it's pretty worth checking out, you know. But not for you two guys. You two need... I'd start looking for now some dividend pays, really.
Yeah. I'm happy with my next investment.
Yeah. Yeah, there we are, next. And Steve, what do you think? Any big companies you've been looking at the moment, Stevie?
No, I haven't been looking at anything.
Yeah. You need to, honestly, sometimes... thing is, when you look at your portfolio, your balance there, your portfolio, all your losses, all your losers are built into that percentage loss or gain figure, you know? So just sell them off. Just sell them off. Get a cash, put them into something decent. Put them all together and, you know, put them into something decent. Yeah.
I mean, there's only a couple of really big, horrible ones that are big, horrible losses. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Probably get out of it. But then you kind of go, yeah, there's a lot of money.
You're going to lose. Yeah.
But it'll never come back. While you're in it, there's always a chance it'll come back. But that's wishful thinking.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm just in my portfolio this week. This is last minute now, because I know we've all got to do something. By the way, I've been building a log cabin at the end of the garden. And right. The missus and a friend are painting it blue. I'm just watching now. They're doing it. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what you've got to do now, is it? Go and sit and watch them.
Yeah, watch them. Because her friend and missus, they're both doing it in bikinis. And I'm going to join them in my bikini now. Right, ladies.
Good, right.
I was saying one other thing. Yeah, I've been readjusting my portfolio almost to get 10% on each stock, anything less than that. Because I've been looking around, I've got a couple here, 2% of my overall value of my portfolio. Pointless. Even if they do very well, it's not going to increase the value of my portfolio that much. So you've got to make sure, like I've said, you know, a couple of times, you have enough exposure to make a difference if it does well, but not too much that if it crashes, it messes up the whole portfolio. But anyway, that's it, guys. Okay. Have a nice weekend. And
yes, all right, nice one.
When's your half marathon, Steve?
Next Sunday.
Okay, all right. Well, I hope your knee gets better. You should go. Pete's good at massaging.
No, it's fine now. I went out for a nice 6 miler yesterday, and it was all right then. So I just need to get that 6 miles up to 13.
That's it, perfect.
Before next Sunday.
That's easy, Steve. You know, a mile a day, you're there. All right.
Yeah. We'll see.
Or just use rollerblades and, you know, hire and borrow someone's dog. All right. Yeah. Like in that Tampax advert. Do you remember that one? Oh, no, what was it?
It's my life.
It's my life, yes. Doesn't matter what time of month it is. I can get pulled by a dog on rollerblades.
Doesn't matter. Yeah,
okay. All right, that'd be Steve.
Good stuff.
All right, good stuff, guys. Lovely. Marvellous. Turn on then.
Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.